Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Welcome to Bytes and Batteries E-Mobility Podcast. Say hi to your hosts, Simon and York.
Der Bytes and Batteries Podcast wird dir präsentiert von den Klickleuten, deiner Online-Marketing-Agentur für E-Mobility. Sichere dir jetzt 20% E-Rabatt. Mehr unter klickleute.de/e-mobility.
Ja, hallo und ganz herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge von Bytes and Batteries, dein E-Mobility-Podcast. Hier ist der Jörg, leider heute ohne Simon, denn ich habe ein spontanes Telefonat geführt und zwar mit Felix aus den Niederlanden. Felix kennt die europäischen Reiserouten und Straßen wie seine Westentasche und ist ein Spezialist, wenn es um elektrische Roadtrips geht. Er nimmt sich gern mal ein Jaguar I-Pace, Tesla Model 3 oder sonst ein anderes batterieelektrisches Fahrzeug und cruist damit durch Europa, aber nicht alleine, sondern gerne auch mit Gästen. Er nutzt dafür Plattformen wie BlaBlaCar und so weiter und so fort. Also ein super spannender und interessanter Typ. Mit Felix haben wir unter anderem auch im Video Rettet den Sion mitgewirkt. Das sind wir, Simon und ich und Felix natürlich noch mit anderen YouTubern und Podcastern zu sehen. Ja, das lohnt sich auch da mal reinzugucken. Ich hoffe, ihr habt Lust bekommen auf diese aktuelle Folge, die auf Englisch ist, aber ich denke, das kriegt ihr hin. Und jetzt wünschen wir euch ganz viel Spaß beim Reinhören.
Hey Felix, welcome to Bytes and Batteries Podcast. You're an expert in the field of electric road trips and everyone can join your rides across Europe on electricfelix.com. Guys, please visit Felix's website or blog. This was my try of an introduction, but I guess no one can introduce you better than yourself. So can you please tell our audience who you are, Felix, and what you do?
Hey, York. Yes, thank you for inviting me on your podcast. Of course, I can tell you a little bit about myself. I like to think of myself as an IT consultant by day and an EV consultant by night and in the weekend. Which obviously mixes at times because I've been a freelancer for almost 10 years. So, I've always felt the liberty to just go on a road trip whenever I wanted to. And recently, or let's say close to a year now, I changed from doing normal road trips, as I could call them now, to electric road trips, and it's really been a wild ride because there were some moments in the past that introduced me to e-mobility at times, and I've used it around the city a lot for many years, but just never really thought of it as an international thing. We'll get into it more deeply later, but now I'd like to share my findings from my trips that I've been doing all over Europe this year on my blog that you can read on electricfelix.com, as you told the audience already. And also, it's not just a blog, but it's really also meant as as a place where people can actually go for advice. So all the countries that I travel to, that I visit by electric vehicles, I'm making guides for these countries, and you can get these guides from me if you contact me on the website. There's a button for requesting advice. And then I can share my guides for the countries that I made these information any kind of charging and driving tips are in there for which charging cards are useful in those countries, and and also the apps that can help you get there, and even some city advice, because traveling by electric vehicles to Frankfurt is very different from Berlin or Hamburg, where the infrastructure is much better. And taking your electric car to Paris is also quite messy because the local infrastructure is just very, it's not really organized well. But anyway, there have been many things going on in the electric scene, and I write about it on my blog, and I started a newsletter. And how I started without a website actually last year, which you probably noticed because you found me on Instagram, I think, because I started just sharing photos of my trips on Instagram, and later I became more active with a real website and Twitter, and recently I also introduced Electric Felix on Facebook.
Ah, cool. And as I've seen on the website, there's also a real form request EV travel advice. So you just have to enter your email. You have to share your vehicle, the battery, charging information with you as a specialist. And I have to tell you about my RFIDs that I'm using, NewMotion, Plug Surfing, or whatever, and the location. If I want to use CCS type 2, or which charging ports my car has, and which phone I'm using, and so on. And then you give me an advice. If you say, I want to go to France, maybe to Paris, you tell me how to do this trip or to plan it.
Exactly, so there's this form on my website that asks for the information that you just shared, and with that information I will look at the trip that you might consider doing, and I come back to you with my charging guides if I have them. So if you do this trip to Paris, I will share my my PDF that I made with information on charging infrastructure in France, and this will help you get the right apps on your phone, and it will recommend you maybe places to charge, charging cards to order ahead, because charging card like Charge Map or the Kiwi card or the Ezipia card, which is the brand that has the most highway chargers in France. There are some of these cards that are if you don't bring them when you travel to France, then you just you really might get into trouble. And that's I want to help people just get there in the safest and cheapest way possible, and in return, if people like my advice, they can put in a donation. But that's I made the guides already, so I just like to get people traveling with their EVs, because it's crazy. What for me, it's crazy that in the Netherlands, there's this example, there's quite a big group of owners of the Jaguar I-Pace, and because Jaguar knows that charging it on the road can get difficult depending on where you want to go, they offer discount on a sixth rental car in the Netherlands to do your holiday trip in a rental car. And I have been using sixth for the past year to rent the I-Pace and to do travels much further than the average I-Pace driver is undertaking themselves. So I like to share that people can actually do much more than they maybe think. So this is what the form is meant for, to encourage people to go further than they maybe thought was possible.
This is super helpful and a great thing, and also cool that you just have to do a little donation and you just get a PDF and can plan your trip. And even in Germany, I am German, as you know, even in Germany it's hard to do a trip. So if I just have to figure out how to get to a little town in France, this is maybe the key to arrive. So let's talk a little bit about your clients. What kind of people book a trip with you, and why do they choose traveling with a stranger? Are they on electric cars or just normal people? How do you get your clients? Or how do people recognize you?
Yeah, the booking form on my website has always been a bit of a bonus. I just want people to know that maybe even after receiving the information that you can do a ride to maybe even the south of France for your holidays or whatever, that maybe people are still thinking like, well, I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if I want to order all these charging cards. I don't want to mess around with all these apps on my phone. So there lies my thing. Like I really like to get as much experience driving around Europe with any EV possible. So this is also what the booking form is meant for, to actually create more travel opportunities for myself. To my surprise, it has been a bit of a bonus on my website. Like I get more requests for advice than people that actually book me as a driver. It's also a very different deal, of course. I've been quite surprised that there were actually quite some people traveling with me this year. Sometimes it have been friends or friends of friends, or some businessmen that I knew through some mutual friend. But what also happens is that any travel I do for the past years, I think already 7 or 8 years ago, I signed up to Mietfahrgelegenheit at the time. A website where you can share your long distance trip, especially. And nowadays, this has become BlaBlaCar all over Europe. But originally, I started with a German road trip actually many years ago to Hamburg. And because I've been using the BlaBlaCar website a lot to share any kind of travel, I decided to also try and put my electric road trips on BlaBlaCar, because most of the time, even if I'm traveling with a friend, then there's still a backseat free or so, and especially on trips to Paris and Berlin from Amsterdam, it's quite easy to find people, and I really feel that when cars do long distance trips, they should be full. Because otherwise it just feels like a waste to me. So the cool thing is that I introduced many people that weren't really expecting an electric trip, even though I obviously tell them in advance. But I introduced many people to electric trips on BlaBlaCar this year, some of whom became sort of customers using the booking form afterwards, because I have physical cards recommending my services to the world that I give to any semi interested person that I meet. So that helps me to get people in the car, and then maybe they get a recommendation from a friend to book me. So to most of the people that I traveled with, I wasn't a complete stranger, even though most of them were also not close friends.
Okay, I see. And so you're using Jaguar I-Pace. And what was the first electric car you've driven before the I-Pace? Your first experience with electric cars?
Yeah, the first experience. I've been thinking about it when I was setting up my website, because I wanted the sort of origin story, and then I remembered actually that the first time that I was in a full electric car was actually a smart car in Amsterdam. I think 8 years ago now, there was in Amsterdam, some people organized an electric car rally, and it was like a puzzle tour all through Amsterdam and around it. And I signed up to actually participate in a contest kind of way. So I won a ticket, and they gave me the car to go smart electric car for the day, and this was almost 8 years ago now. And that was actually the first time that I was in a full electric car, and that I realized for the first time, even though it wasn't super quiet, it's obviously not a super big car, it couldn't even fast charge, whatever, that was all not, it wasn't about that. In those days, Amsterdam already had a widespread charging infrastructure, which, if you think back to those days, I remember that when I was in that electric smart, the amount of charging points in Amsterdam was still much bigger in those days than in Germany as a whole, for example. So it just, I just knew that we were doing something that wasn't very common, and I was happily surprised that we actually drove all around town all day in this small car with a small battery, and we actually easily made it. So that really opened my eyes. Like, I knew that, I wasn't traveling to Berlin back then, but I knew that that it would grow much bigger from there. And for many years I've just used city cars, so I also remember very well, I think it was in 2015 or 16, that I went to Berlin, maybe even 14, but I went to Berlin a couple of years ago, and they started putting BMW i3s in the street that you could rent using the Drive Now application. So that was actually the Smart and the i3 have been the first cars that I've used quite a lot around both Amsterdam and Berlin.
This is a funny point, because a lot of people, even if they use a small EV like the Renault Zoe or maybe a Smart EQ or small EVs, not like Tesla or Jaguar I-Pace, they normally fall in love with it. Do you agree?
I totally agree. It was, I felt like if you need a car around the city, it's just, it's the best opportunity you have. These cars are the right size, depending on if you want to travel with two or four people. And they're just immensely fun to drive. And in a city, the only thing you need is 0 to 50 in a fun way. And that's what these cars give you. And to drive around the city with any normal car just felt horribly old-fashioned back in those days already. And now we're really getting to a point where I feel that if I'm ever going to, like I did a road trip to Portugal 3 years ago now, and if I would ever do that again, then it could be with any electric car, really. It just depends on the time and the money and the people that will join.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said that you if you do an electric road trip, you just rent a car. So why don't you own a car yourself?
Yeah. So to me, it's really the things that I don't really I try to own as less as possible anyway, and for me the car ownership has always been a bit of a I think it's also growing up in Amsterdam that has just set my mind a certain way, because when you live in a city like Amsterdam, this is just this is a city full of bikes. There are far more bikes than there will ever be people. The average movement in this city by any person doing anything is on a bike. It is not walking, it is not in a car, it's just on a bike. And so being this accustomed to bike travel and having a super dense train and bus network, I just I just feel, yeah, because I don't work outside of the city, of course, because then it might change things. But for me, yeah, living in this densely populated, quite old-fashioned, and yeah, the city full of small streets, they're just, we have so little space for anything, really. Like, one of the reasons I like to visit Berlin is to just be in a city and feel more space, because yeah, Amsterdam can be Amsterdam can be so cramped, and so here and what also doesn't help is that in the Netherlands in general, Amsterdam even more so, owning a car is actually a very expensive thing to do. So my dad still has a car, so I'm trying to talk him out of it for years. When I go to visit my dad, we can look at his car together, and that moment that we look at his car together is actually already costing him money. That's how expensive owning a car in Amsterdam is. It also doesn't help that it's a big car and it's an old car. But anyone with a car in Amsterdam is just losing money by looking at it. And that to me just doesn't make any sense. I like to do sensible investments in my life, but this sounds like a very unsensible one, because I really like to not have a car when I don't need it, because then I don't need to worry about it, because in Amsterdam it's just a worry that there's never a parking spot when you need it. And everything that you will do with the car is just expensive, and it will only help me. Yeah. Nowadays, because I'm really finally getting a bit older, I have some friends who move out of the city, but most friends I can still visit just jumping on my bike, and in 15 minutes I'll be there. So there's just there's enough use cases for me in my daily life to have a car for, and I love to travel by car. So yeah, as soon as anybody can talk me into a road trip, I'll find something cool to rent. And I've been enjoying so many rental cars in the past 10 years. I couldn't even count them if I wanted to. It's been just so many in different parts of the world also. And I really like to just drive something fun, drive something new. But in my daily life, to look at a car and not be using it, because on average I'm not traveling, that just feels like a waste.
Okay. I think this is the future. All the cities are getting more and more crowded, and I think if you want to have mobility, you want to have it when you need it. This is what I wanted to say. If you own a car and you pay and don't use it, you don't get parking space because the city's full of cars. This is always a point Simon and me were discussing in the podcast, or when we talk to each other. So Simon, my podcast partner, who isn't here today because he's a meeting, I told you before. He's doing the same. He's living in the city, using electric cars in a car sharing concept, or using a bike, or he also owns an e-bike. This is the future, I guess. But you also said traveling in a car is still fun for you. So is it the last big adventure to travel through Europe in a battery electric vehicle?
Yeah, this is a good point, because right now I also feel we're in this phase of many new vehicles being announced, and you see new partnerships, and you see companies like Ionity building out this European network, and I really feel like right now it's still, depending on where you go, because in France it's much more difficult than if you had to Austria, for example. Depending on where you go, it can be an actual adventure. And I found out this year myself, because I went on a crazy trip to Madrid, in March to see Ajax play and have this ridiculous victory over Madrid that I will hopefully never forget about. But that I did that in the electric Jaguar when I would believe if I was the first Dutch Jaguar to actually cross the Spanish border, because it felt so adventurous to be there when it was almost still winter. I mean, spring was sort of starting, but didn't really feel like that when we were on the road at night. The French and then the Spanish infrastructure. I had to actually call several hotlines in Spain to actually get us to Madrid. It was a serious challenge. And then, I'm glad that on the Spanish part, we didn't have any BlaBlaCar passengers because it wouldn't have been a good experience for them. It was a serious adventure, actually. But I loved it. And of course, I got lucky that we actually made it to Madrid in time and that we actually could still get our hands on some tickets for the match in time. Also, because it was also this when we left on Saturday morning in Amsterdam, visiting a friend in Paris and then traveling to Bordeaux the day after and then crossing into Spain. It was really all the time. I was hoping that we would actually make it to be in Madrid by Tuesday afternoon, but I was just unsure about it because we were going into a territory I didn't know, which really, really made it a serious adventure. And I'm obviously super happy that we actually made it. Yeah. And that's really one of the things that makes me want to go to the east of Europe also to find out how it is over there. And actually, when I look on my favorite charging apps, I'm all the time surprised that in places where I don't expect it, from the looks on the map, it actually seems like some countries where you don't expect it have actually very decent infrastructure there. So that makes me always curious to just go on more trips to crazier, further destinations and see what's ahead of it.
This sounds like a real adventure, your trip to Madrid, and I think it's also hard to do these trips with passengers or clients because you want to convince them or just show them that e-mobility has arrived and that it's really fun to drive an electric car. But if people join the trip and they see all the problems especially with the charging infrastructure, sometimes it's hard to to convince them. So the Jaguar I-Pace has a large battery pack. Do you agree? A bigger battery pack means easier long distance traveling in EVs.
I mean, to a certain extent, that just makes sense because it's nice to have a little extra, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, in my opinion, my most recent blog post has been about this. Because recently I went to Paris with a good friend of mine, Hugo, and he is one of my few friends who actually owns an electric car because he uses it for work daily. And the thing is that taking the Hyundai Ioniq that he has to Paris is, it's a bit more cumbersome than to take the Jaguar to Paris because technically, I already made it to Paris by just charging all the way south in Belgium and just waiting 1 hour at the Ioniq station next to the border and then driving slowly to Paris. And you can make it with just one charger, even though it takes you an hour to charge all the way to above 90%. And obviously in the Hyundai Ioniq, you cannot do it like this because the battery is so much smaller. But the thing is that this car has a much better CW value and,
it's so efficient, isn't it?
Far, Sorry?
It's a really efficient efficient car. We're driving it on this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, nice. It's actually, yeah, I've been able to try it out many times because it was used in a car sharing program in Amsterdam for 1 year, and then they switched to a Renault Zoe, actually, which, yeah, I think is too bad because I like the Yoniq more for longer distance traveling. But in the city, obviously, it's a fine car. But the thing is with the Hyundai Yoniq, because the efficiency is so high, it's funny that when you go to a country like France, suddenly, yeah, there's the crazy thing of the infrastructure gain that my blog post was about, that actually right now the infrastructure, yeah, makes a bigger difference than the car in a way, and the Hyundai Yoniq actually, yeah, can use the French infrastructure better, because the thing is in France, when you haven't got the luxury to visit an Ioniq station, because there are many places where they haven't been built yet. So, for example, on the way to Paris, the last station that you can use is in Belgium, and then you're stuck with French highway chargers. So with most vehicles, you have to charge up in France. And what happens is the French highway chargers do 40 kilowatt charging max, even though you pay for 50.
Oh, okay.
Most of the time, you even only get 38. But sometimes you make it to 40 if you're lucky. But imagine taking the I-Pace or the e-tron, even crazier, the Audi e-tron, if you take that to France and you visit this highway charger that then delivers sort of 40 kilowatt charging into your battery that's twice that size. This charger will look like, it's like watching your water fill up, I don't know, this huge tank, and you're in your house just using your normal water supply, and you're just waiting for your pool to fill up, and it will take a day. So that's just crazy. And then you realize that actually driving around France with the Hyundai can be great, because then you need a small charger for maybe 20 minutes when you're somewhere halfway from the Belgian border. And then you can make it to Paris already just by driving, not crazy fast, of course. But then you will easily make it with a small charger. And if you bring these big cars to the French highway, then yeah, it's just it's not a good match with the infrastructure right now. And there's so much work to do. And in a country like Germany, I there have been many trips that I made around Germany in the past year, if only for the fun of discovering all the infrastructure being built actively. I drove to Berlin in December twice, actually. And I've been driving to Berlin ever since, once more in April or May, and once more over the summer in August. And the thing is that every time that I drive the I-Pace to Berlin, it's been more comfortable because there have been so many new charging stations opening. And I'm not even talking about 1 year yet. The first time that I did this was in December, and there have been so many new places to charge up in the meantime that, you can suddenly take the route through Hamburg if you would like, because they're building many stations on that route even. And, that was all not there if you just go back 1 year in time. So in Germany, the expansion of all the charging networks is going so fast now. But in France, it's mainly Ioniq building some stations. But France is a huge country, and yeah, there's much more fast charging infrastructure needed, and also at better prices.
So still it's all about charging infrastructure, and even if it's developing,
for me, yes.
We are not there yet.
No. And especially the redundancy part, I almost forgot to mention it. In France, you will almost always find one triple charger at the highway. Oh, and yeah, chances are that it's broken. Chances are that it's busy. Chances are that it's busy for a long time because it is going so slow. I mean, this is, yeah, redundancy is key, and it's just not there.
Yeah, on my trip to Berlin, I used an app. It's called Route and Charge, and I also used some filters. Like I want to charge with 50 kilowatt and mm-hmm. or more, and also that I want to have CCS chargers with two stalls, because just like you've said before, if you're on a normal triple charger, there's only one and it's broken, or there is a car charging like a Tesla with a 100 kilowatt hours battery pack, you won't be able to travel mm-hmm. And have to do a large stop. So yeah, totally, it's all about the infrastructure.
This is a big part of the game still, and yeah, you see big differences around Europe already. So just going on in the Netherlands, you only need to travel for maybe 1 hour and a half when you're in neighboring country, and everything changes as soon as you cross a border with an EV. Then suddenly you need different apps, different charging cards, pricing can be crazy, redundancy can be zero, everything can be broken, the hotline cannot be reached because it's Saturday or Sunday or evening, or in France, hotlines even shut down during lunch. I want to charge, it's lunch. You need to wait 2 hours before you can talk to somebody on the phone. It's more than crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. But we don't want to tell people that electric cars are not working and that traveling is not working. It's not like this, but it's developing, and I think we're on a tipping point, and I think in one or two years the problems from we have today, maybe it's not like they erased, but everything will get better with
it's only getting better from here. And the thing is that even though I'm mentioning these things that need improvement, I'm really focusing on countries like France and maybe also a little bit on Spain. But I also visited many countries where I was actually surprised to find redundant stations delivering fast and cheap energy, even in a crazy country like Denmark, where pricing can be super high. There were also some of the fastest stations that I ever used, and they were completely free, and they had four stalls, and they had all plugs ready, and happy people charging up their brand new electric cars, and everybody just super happy to talk to you and whatever. So now I've been encountering great things and big surprises when traveling in the middle of winter to Wales with friends, and just finding a nice pub and a great fast charger next to the pub. There have been so many great surprises on my trips. So that's definitely the point to focus on the positive part.
Okay. How far can you go in the Jack Your Eye pace?
Well, I visited a friend on the border of Germany and Switzerland in Konstanz, and over there you can drive into Swiss and maybe make it to 400 kilometers, because in Switzerland you can mainly drive like 80 kilometers per hour. But on the highway, I would say 300 is easy. And more depends a bit on weather, depends a bit on your tires. I've been driving some I-Paces that were fitted with 18-inch wheels instead of the more regular 20-inch wheels. And then you can definitely do 350 kilometers on normal highway speed. But when I say normal highway speed, I don't mean really speeding like some people love in Germany, because as soon as you take yeah, as soon as you go above 150 kilometers per hour or something like this, then any electric car will give you much less efficiency. Well, unless maybe the Model 3, but it's dependent so much on your driving style. But on good summer days, I've definitely done 350 kilometers on the charge.
Yeah, I think this is awesome because with an i3s who's less efficient than the i3, I have like, let's say, 200 kilometers. And this is great. Yeah. I think it's more like 180. A last thing: if someone wants to do a trip with you and book it on your website or contact you on Instagram or other channels you are using, you just said that you set up a Facebook account also. What about the pricing if I want to do a trip with you?
Yeah, so the pricing is a bit of is always something that we will look into depending on the trip, because I offer any European trip you can think of. If you wanna go from Berlin to Rome, I'll make it happen, and we'll just do a sleepover somewhere, and the customer can decide if that should be a hotel or an Airbnb or whatever. I can take care of it, or they can take care of it, and I would just recommend a certain point in the route. But what I aim for is to see if there's train competition to the ride that they're thinking of, because maybe they want to do Amsterdam Berlin, and they're looking at the train, and it has become quite expensive. So for two people, it can be quite common to try and book the train to Berlin, and it might be 300 euros. And the thing is that you can do the same with me then, because I offer a one-way ride to Berlin for 150. So the thing is that it will depend also on how many people you are with, because I normally charge for the ride and not so much for the people. So you can take two friends together with you, because then we have the car full in a way that everybody's still happy. So I try to look at a train pricing and compete a bit with that. And we can always talk about it. And if you don't, if you want to travel by yourself, I can see if I can find some other passengers on that route, and we can do something with the prices. It really depends on the customer. If you want a private ride, then it can be a bit more expensive. And the planning, because since I don't own the car, I will have to rent one. And if it's the middle of summer, then renting one can be a bit more expensive than in winter. So it might go up and down a bit, but we can always just talk about it. And the thing is that when you use my booking form, then I will ask you about the budget for the trip. So you give me an idea about what you think is right for you. And I will just tell you up front if that is a feasible price or not.
This sounds like a really good deal, and don't forget it. If you ride by train, you have to get to the train station. You have to get from the train station on your destination to the person you want to visit, and all the stuff. So you're really doing it from house to house, and it's not like sitting in a crowded bus or whatever. It's a goddamn nice Jaguar I-Pace, so a luxury car. And with a great person you can talk to. So Felix, thank you very much for your time and being here in Bytes and Batteries podcast talking to me. It really was a pleasure. And I just found you on Instagram, and I was absolutely fascinated when I saw your photos, and just was wondering what kind of guy this is who's using an iPad, looking like a nice guy and not like a millionaire. So I just checked out your website, and then it came up to me like, ooh, a great concept, and absolutely fascinating, and I was really excited talking to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much for inviting me. And this is, it's funny that you mentioned it, because this is exactly how I feel about sharing. That actually by sharing anything in general, everybody can get a better deal, because this is the thing. Like I'm not gonna purchase an iPace, but we can actually use an iPace to travel together to a nice destination, and everybody can get the best deal at the same time, I think. So that's really one of the keys in sharing for me, that that everybody wins.
Cool. So go on electricfelix.com, book your electric ride across Europe, and yeah, have fun talking to Felix. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I wish you a great day.
Der Bytes and Batteries Podcast wird dir präsentiert von den Klickleuten, deiner Online-Marketing-Agentur für E-Mobility. Sichere dir jetzt 20% E-Rabatt. Mehr unter klickleute.de/e-mobility.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.